Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Our second reading is Revelation chapter 7. Verses 9 to 17. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, Those in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I answered, Sir, you know. And he said, These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And so just to remind you of the reading that we just had, it was about the multitude in the white robes, just in case you forgot that. And I think, what a difference between the scene that the Apostle John saw in his vision and the scene that we witnessed on television. Maybe we were there. People wanting to pay respects to our late monarch. Hours and hours of queuing of people. Very solemn, very dignified, very quiet. In their outside clothes, and from the ones I saw, you wouldn't have guessed that they must have been sleepwalking at some point. The queue was that long, very reverential, and the dignified pomp and circumstance that Britain does so well. A nation united in grieving a lady that we have so much love and respect for. The scene in John's revelation is entirely different. The crowds are waving palm branches. They're worshipping God. Salvation belongs to our God. This is not quiet. It's not solemn. But maybe in its own exuberance, it has its own sort of dignity. No mention of queuing. And not everyone has access. First, before our reading, there were the tribes of Israel. And then there was the white-clothed multitude. No everyday clothes here. These people could only be there because of Jesus and their faith in him. Jesus, the Lamb of God. It was his blood that washed their robes. These people knew, they understood, and they accepted that Jesus is the only way of salvation. He was the sacrifice that changed their everyday sin-stained clothes to perfect white robes. White robes of justification, holiness and victory. And without those robes, well, they wouldn't be there at all. So no wonder they were proclaiming in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. And so, thinking back to our late monarch, where do we think she would be? Did she help her nation at all? I think fairly obviously the answer's got to be yes. I'm hoping that you're all thinking that. She would be there, and over the years, she has helped her nation to be there too. Some quotes from her. To many of us, our beliefs are of fundamental importance. For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life. I, like so many of you, have drawn great comfort in difficult times from Christ's words and example. She said that in her Christmas message in 2000. In 2011, she said, Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed, God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a saviour with the power to forgive. And in 2012, she said, "This is the time of year when we remember that God sent his only son to serve, not to be served. He restored love and service to the centre of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ." They're just some parts of some of her messages. In her position as our queen on the world stage, Her Late Majesty did not hide behind nice, moral comments about being generous, kind, and forgiving, which is the easy option, but she named Jesus Christ as her saviour. She didn't get caught up in the political madness, such as when Birmingham Council banned Christmas and called it Winterval, so as not to upset people of other faiths. She had her faith, and she confidently proclaimed it, accepting that when other people have faiths, then she could work alongside them. Apart from our own somewhat complicated and bizarre country, she united 54 nations of the Commonwealth. And our city of Birmingham was proud to hold the Commonwealth Games not so very long ago. And you might have been. It was an amazing atmosphere of a multitude of people of different nationalities together for one purpose, to enjoy the Games. Our Queen made a choice to follow the teachings of Jesus in the way that she acted as Queen, and in her own way made it possible for us to follow her lead. She visited Germany for the 20-year anniversary of the end of World War II as a symbol of reconciliation, the first visit of a British royal since 1913. She was the first British monarch to visit the Chinese mainland under the Act of Political Friendship. She was the first British monarch to visit the Republic of Ireland in 100 years. And yet, she was interested in not just the political issues, but human. Some might remember that dreadful avalanche from the coal mine in Aberfan, which killed hundreds of the village, mostly children. And she went there to see the people and to mourn with the grieving. And we've seen her visiting care homes and chatting with the residents. And you'll be able to think, you've seen it, you might have experienced it. You can think for yourself of so many snapshots shown in the past few days of how that our late Queen interacted with average, everyday people as well as the heads of state. And at the funeral of her husband, Prince Philip, who can forget that image of her alone at the funeral? Surely she could have pulled rank, had someone with her, but she didn't. Her people were having to follow COVID guidelines, so she did too. We have our own memories of what we saw or experienced. Queen Elizabeth was a constant figurehead for most of us, or for all of our lives, for most of our lives, all of our lives. It depends how old we are. She herself said, "Grief is the price we pay for love." And she was well loved and respected here and around the world. Of her qualities that have been mentioned: selfless, authentic, empathic, devoted, committed, virtuous, hard-working, loyal, steadfast, the list goes on, and you'll have your own additions. They all make her a truly remarkable woman. But it was her faith in Jesus Christ and her willingness to follow and proclaim that faith to others that was so characteristic. Jesus left his disciples with the Great Commission to spread the gospel throughout the world. And we may wonder, how? And yet the Queen did just that. We've witnessed the grieving of a nation, hundreds of thousands of people in their everyday clothes, paying their respect to a queen who has died. And yet she points the way to the celebration of a multitude who are praising God and his son who died as a sacrifice, so that we could all be there, dressed in white robes with palm branches, shouting out, "Salvation belongs to our God." As we mourn our late Queen, we especially give thanks for her commitment, not just to follow and defend her faith, but to proclaim it to all nations.